shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over radio station WWCR, Transmitter 3, and Transmitter 1. That's 4.840 megahertz, and Transmitter 1, which is a new transmitter for us, is 3.215 megahertz. And I appreciate any reception reports you have from that particular transmitter. We're also being heard over radio station WBCQ, also shortwave, that's 7.490 megahertz. If you would like to participate tonight with your questions and comments, you can call our toll-free number, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAHS-RACE. We're going to have an interesting program tonight. The Catholic and Protestant churches, who should be the bulwark of opposition to the Antichrist and their works, have been infiltrated by the literal children of Satan and have largely been taken over by Judeo-Christian ministers who teach that these demons are God's chosen people. That's a very serious error that must be resolved before our people can understand what's really taking place in the world. To discuss this problem, my guest is the educator, scholar, and author, Dr. J. Edward Weed. I'd like to welcome you back to the broadcast.
Thank you for having me, Brother Mike. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you being here. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, Protocol 17, speaks about the destruction of Christianity and the challenging of Christian doctrines. Just how have these Jews gone about trying to destroy Christianity?
Well, to begin with, Brother Mike, it was primarily through financial means that they had to do these things, because without the financial power, you know, the borrower is servant to the lender, and that's a warning that we've been given. But through financial power, they were able to take control of what were once white Christian assemblies in this nation and turn them into what is now always classified and known as Judeo-Christianity, which is, you know, is nothing more than saying communist Christianity. It's a misnomer. It's not accurate, but they took over, and they took over through financial means. We're given a warning in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, that says the love of money is the root of all evil. And there's nobody on this earth that you can find that loves money more than the Jews. And if you look at the book of Matthew 6:24, it says, you know, ye cannot serve Elohim and mammon, or money. So, and they do these things. And I want to begin with two quotes tonight to kind of set the stage for where we're going to go. I mean, we could go all the way back to Europe in the 15 and 1600s and talk about how the Jews got financial control there and started the Bank of England and basically destroyed the English economy and began to take over the religions in Europe. But tonight I'm going to begin, because of time constraints and everything else, that I'm going to begin where the Federal Reserve was created in this country, because that's where, in our nation, our once great nation, that's where our religions here in this, in our nation, began to really go south, was after the creation of the Federal Reserve Banking Corporation. So I'm going to begin with a quote from former congressman and chairman of the House Committee on Banking and Currency, Senator Lewis McFadden. And he stated, the Depression was not accidental. It was a carefully contrived occurrence. The international Jewish bankers sought to bring about a condition of despair so that they might emerge as the rulers of us all. And then Mayor Rothschild, a Jewish banker, financial, you know, monopolizer of our currency and system, stated this, and I quote, "Give me control of the money of a country, and I care not who makes her laws." So when, you know, we talk about financial control, a lot of people are not impressed with that, but I'm here to tell you financial control is very important, because it's the Jew who decides what your house payment's going to be, what your car payment's going to be, what the interest will be on that house note or that car note or any land that you own. They literally control every aspect of the life of the people here in this nation because of their control. And that's how they gain control of our religions, as we'll see as time goes through this process here tonight. But you know, research, they had several different plans, not just the you were mentioning the protocols, but whether they were Zionists, whether they were religious Jews or just simply racial Jews, they still had this program. And I'm going to show you that. Lenin actually outlined a program to take over the United States in 1919. And it was updated through the process and times as they went through, you know, as they went through the times there. Khrushchev updated the 100-year plan for takeover of America, 45,000 words, there in the 50s and 60s. And, so they had, whether they were, as I said, racial, communist Jews, or whether they were religious Zionist Jews, or whatever the case may be, they had a plan to destroy us and to try to manipulate and control our societies in every aspect, politically, religiously, and especially economically, which you know as well as I do is the system of Babylon. And Yahweh told us to come out of Babylon and to come follow him, but that's not the same place. It's a religious, political, economic system. And Yahweh warned us of these things. He warned us of these things in Deuteronomy 28:15, and 28:43-45. And Christ Emmanuel, Yahweh come in the flesh, the Word become flesh, warned us about these Jews and their money-hungry mindset in the book of Matthew 21:13, when he said, you know, that they had made his house of prayer a den of thieves. And then over in Matthew 23:14, he said that the Jewish priest was taking widows' houses from them. So they've always been the money changers, and that's what our Father Yahweh called them. And they have changed what is good, wholesome coin and turned it into worthless paper. And they've taken over our society to do it. When they created the Federal Reserve banking system and the federal income tax, it was in the early 1900s that a group of big money investment bankers met on a little island called Jekyll Island in what is now part of Georgia to discuss the creation of what is known today as the Federal Reserve banking system. And the men that attended these highly secretive meetings were the richest men in the world. Their names were Paul Warburg, Frank Vanderlip, Abraham Andrew, Charles Norton, Benjamin Strong, and J.P. Morgan. And also in attendance at the meeting was a United States senator named Nelson Aldrich. And Senator Aldrich headed up the National Monetary Commission at that time and was the chairman of the banking committee at that time, which is, you know, a lot of people say, why is that important? Why does it matter if something that took place 100 years ago? Because every one of the men mentioned above were Jews by race, and at least two of them were funneling money into the Soviet Union, better known as the Red Revolution or the Communist Revolution there, within just a couple of years after this meeting took place. So all of these men were, you know, in competition with each other at this time, so they joined their empires in order to gain a monopoly over America's monetary system. And to put it simply, they eliminated their competition and took all of the profits for themselves. In 1907, the Rockefellers, another Jewish family, controlled one-sixth of the nation, of, you know, our nation's wealth. And this gave the Rockefellers tremendous power to affect the national economy. So the Rockefellers and yet another Jew named Jacob Schiff got together and engineered a nationwide money scare. And this in turn caused, you know, several large corporations to sell, and which allowed the Rockefellers and Schiffs to gain control over the corporations and buy them out. And that's what the whole purpose was. And in addition to to the money scare, you know, it caused a lot of Americans to start thinking about banking reform, which is what the Jews wanted in the first place. And it eventually took control away from the state and independent banks and gave more control again to the central power banks. And it's all very important because the growth of independent banks over the previous 20 to 25 years before these things took place here and they met to formulate this Federal Reserve banking system, it took a great deal of power away from these Jewish bankers for these independent banks to rise up. In fact, by 1913, state and other independent banking institutions constituted 71% of the total number of banks in America. And even more importantly was the fact that the non-national banks controlled 57% of the banking resources in America. And this was something that the Jews just couldn't deal with. And in 1912, shortly after the sinking of the Titanic, these rich Jewish bankers organized another money scare in America. And this is when the six Jewish bankers, again, Morgan, Andrew, the ones we just mentioned, Warburg, Strong, Vanderlip, and Norton, began to push heavily for the banking reform that they personally desired. So before long, the senator and chairman of the banking committee, Nelson Aldrich, brought the bill that these Jewish bankers had designed, which was called the Aldrich Bill at the time, before the United States Congress. But in spite of the Jews' best efforts, the bill was voted down because of lack of Democratic support for the bill. The Democrats believed that the Aldrich Bill was nothing but a small group of, you know, big money businessmen trying to monopolize the little man and take all of his profits. And the Democrats were absolutely 100% right in this belief, for that is what the Jewish, you know, designed banking bill was intended to do. So in light of the Democrats' rejection of the bill, these big money, you know, bankers move on to Plan B, okay, which simply meant when their attempt to push the bill through with Republicans failed, they would now rename it and slightly alter it a bit and then see if they could push it through with the unsuspecting Democrats who voted it down the first go around. So the only problem they had standing in their way was then President William Howard Taft. William Howard Taft was an incumbent president who was witty, popular, and pretty much guaranteed to win the upcoming election, while the Democratic presidential candidate Woodrow Wilson was not very popular at the time, nor was he a man of great charisma, but these big money men needed Wilson and the Democratic Party to sign their banking bill into law. So, did Wilson's slim chances of victory stop these men from trying to hijack America's economy? Absolutely not. Because these Jewish money men had this all planned out. Very strategic. They're very subtle. They're just like their father, the devil. They're very subtle. They're very patient in their means to destroy us as a people. And J.P. Morgan, one of the richest of the six bankers supporting the Federal Reserve, system as we know it today, practically owned a former Republican president named Theodore Roosevelt. And he was also Jewish, of course. But he had great control over him due to heavy financing of his past presidential campaigns. So, and we know this to be true because J.P. Morgan's right-hand man, George Perkins, who was also vice president of J.P. Morgan's banks, one of his banks, lived in the White House during both terms of Roosevelt's presidency. So Teddy Roosevelt was still very popular among the American people because of his two terms in office, and this especially included the Republican Party, which the incumbent William Howard Taft would be running on. So Morgan got Theodore Roosevelt to come out of retirement and run on a third-party ticket, the Bull Moose Party, which split the Republican vote and ultimately put the Jewish banker's hand-picked Democrat candidate Woodrow Wilson in office. According to author and businessman Mr. Henry Ford, it was about this time that Frank Aldrich and Nelson Vanderlip began giving speeches and interviews to Jewish newspaper reporters condemning the very same bill that they had just rewritten and were trying to get passed, you see. And this is very strategic. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. And this is happening in our society today. It happens in our press today and different things. The reason for this was to make it appear that the big bankers opposed the banking bill, which of course made the general public, the general American public, feel as though it was safe and something that would take care of their best interest, especially when they had just voted down a bill that the bankers were all for and certainly was against their best interest. So the newly elected president, Woodrow Wilson, took his oath of office and almost instantly called for a special session of Congress where, you know, and the meeting was called for the sole purpose of convincing the Democratic senators to end the protective tariff over America's currency, which they did. Next they voted to pass a federal income tax that was never drawn before the year 1913, and which would only be deducted once a year when it was first, was first created, and only the top 6% of the incomes in the nation were taxed. But this too was part of the communist Jews' plan to take over our economy and to drain the wealth from our people. Since the federal income tax was passed, it's been modified many times, as you know. The first change came when they stopped drawing the tax once a year and began drawing it every 6 months, and then changed it to where it was eventually drawn every payday. And of course, no longer just applied to the top 6%, but ended up applying more heavily to the lower middle class Americans, the working Americans, and their incomes. And the finalization of the plan to drain our wealth came when the Federal Reserve Bill, formerly the Aldrich Bill, was renamed, rewritten, and then pushed through by unsuspecting and ill-informed Democrats. And it was done in December, right around the time of Christmas of 1913, when most of the American congressmen were home with their families for the holidays. Now, since the Federal Reserve gained control over our nation's economy, we have faced the economic struggles of 1921, the Great Depression of 1929 and 39, which you will remember, as I read in the opening, Senator Lewis McFadden stated was deliberately orchestrated and carried out by these Jews who got power with this central banking system. We faced the recessions of 1953, 1957, 1969, 1975, 1981, and then the stock market's Black Monday of 1987. And even more recessions came in 2003, 2007, again in 2009 through 2011, when hundreds of banks and other businesses sold out or were closed down due to economic recession or outsourced to foreign countries. Since the day it was passed through Congress, the Federal Reserve has never paid one penny in taxes. The Federal Reserve should pay taxes because it is a private business that has nothing to do with the federal government whatsoever. As a matter of fact, you can look up in many phone books and try to find the Federal Reserve, and it'll be in the business section. It won't be in the government section. Most people think it's connected to the government because it's called the Federal Reserve corporation, but it's listed in the business section of the phone book in many cases, and you can look that up for yourself to prove that true. But the Federal Reserve is a private business that has nothing to do with the federal government whatsoever. And all of this, the Jewish business cartel of banks, all they did was go into business with our American government. What business was that? Well, the business of printing all of our currency. The business of loaning our American government money, worthless paper. And of course, the interest of this money, again, worthless paper, was to be paid back directly to the Jews that own these banks. And some may, be thinking, out here listening, the big deal. That was well over, again, like I said, well over 100 years ago. Why does that matter? If this happened. It matters because as of 2018, the Federal Reserve was and still is owned and operated by Jews. And even the chairman of the Federal Reserve banking system, as of 2010, Ben S. Bernanke was a Jew, and the one before him, Alan Greenspan, was a Jew. And moreover, the current chairman, as I said, of the Federal Reserve is also a Jew, Janet L. Yellen. And the Federal Reserve has no money at all. They just print paper that has nothing backing it. You say, well, paper is our money now. No, it's not. And what's more, it was and is unconstitutional that we left a standard where we traded off and had something of value that backed our currency. The only thing that makes paper worth anything is that it's backed by something of monetary value. And the Federal Reserve does not have one ounce of anything valuable backing up the paper the Federal Reserve, loans to America, which means the Federal Reserve cannot protect your money, nor do they care to protect your money. This also means that the United States Treasury cannot back up your paper money because there is simply not enough silver or gold in the U.S. Treasury, if there is any gold there at all, to pay off the debt that we've accumulated through the Federal Reserve Banking Corporations. And this is sad, but this is where we've arrived. Now, how did this relate into the communist plan? Well, in 1919, the leader of the communist Russia, Vladimir Lenin, outlined a plan to take over the United States of America. His plan specifically targeted the United States of America because Lenin believed that America had to be conquered or that we would prevent them from conquering the rest of the world. And this same man took about 25 supporters in 1903 and started a communist takeover of Russia. And by 1917, which was only 14 years after Lenin and his group's first meeting, approximately 40,000 communists overthrew the Soviet Union, turning it into the world's first communist country. Since that time, Lenin's Russia has helped to set up and supply other communist countries, including China, North Korea, North Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Cuba, and many others. But every communist leader since Lenin's reign in Russia has sought to carry out his plan to indoctrinate and destroy the United States of America. Many may remember Khrushchev, who was also a Jew, promised that they would take over America without ever firing a shot. He stated that during his time there. And the majority of the leaders who have followed Lenin have also been Jews. Stalin, as I said, Khrushchev, Gorbachev, Putin. And the first four steps in Lenin's plan were filled with ideas for infiltration, subversions, brainwashing, and conquest without war. And the last step was one that was a little different. But according to Lenin, the key to the final step's necessity would depend on the success of the first four steps outlined. And as time progressed, the communists updated their plan of destruction by developing Lenin's original plan around technology and tools of our present day. You know, as time changed and television and other things became prominent, they began to use those things. But in 1961, Khrushchev created a 45,000-word document that explained how the Communist Party, USA, would work small doses of socialism into the American government, schools, and religions. And Khrushchev believed that in time, the small doses of socialism would eventually usher in full-fledged communist government in America. And like I said, he made no bones about even saying it. He bragged about it. And some people may, like I said, remember him standing at the podium with his shoe and pounding the podium with it back in the 1960s. But let's backtrack just a moment. But before these things took place, before they targeted the American family and the American religions and worked themselves into these religions, a lot of people don't understand this, but the white Western European peoples recognized themselves to be Israel. When we first came to this continent in the 1600s, the people who came here were separatists. They didn't celebrate the paganistic Christmas and Easter and all these things. They were followers of the law. They were proud white Christian people, white Christian in the truest sense of the word, not as we would determine, you know, Christian today, of the Judeo variety. But if you go back into to your history, you'll find Mr. Ezra Stiles, and he made a statement in 1783, which referred to the American people as Israelites. Mr. Ezra Stiles was a teacher of church history, a president of Yale University from 1778 through 1795, and he was considered one of the best and most intelligent men of his day. And he stated, and I quote, "Congress put at the head of this spirited army the only man," and he's speaking of George Washington, "on whom the eyes of all Israel is placed." And he was referring to the American people as Israel. Here's another quote, and this was from the United States Supreme Court in 1840 in reference to the neglect that they had given the Constitution over the past 7 years. And they said, and I quote, "We may well ask with some feelings of surprise where during these past 7 years were slumbering the watchmen of our American Israel." And I found a book in an out-of-print bookstore that was written by Thomas Jefferson. Anytime I try to do some research in history, I always try to find books that were written by the men themselves and not by somebody who researched the men, because then you have their slant to it. But I wanted to always find something as much as possible that had the writings of our forefathers in their own words. this was a unique book, and President Thomas Jefferson, and I'm quoting from the book, The Life and Selected Writings of Thomas Jefferson. It was copyrighted in 1944, pages 173 and 176. But keep in mind now, Thomas Jefferson, you know, was credited as author of the Declaration of Independence and also believed and openly recognized here that America is Israel. I quote, he stated that when President Washington died, he said, I think I knew General Washington intimately and thoroughly. I felt on his death with my countrymen that verily a great man had fallen this day in Israel. So before the infiltration of these, of this Jewish monetary power, the white Western European peoples recognized themselves as Christian people, and they recognized themselves as Israelite Christians. I found a 1912 Baptist church manual that belonged to my granddaddy, and that's where I came from. So believe me, I understand what I'm talking about when I talk about how the Jewish infiltration of the seminaries came about. I have a doctorate. I've got two bachelors. I tell everybody playfully, I got a doctorate in BS because I did get a, you know, I was taught, I listened to their garbage. I saw the, you know, the ones there that they had teaching in the seminaries and whatnot. And there's, you know, most of the time the old covenant scriptures are taught by the Jews. And this was all part of their plan. When they took over financially, when they bailed out these colleges during the Depression, which they caused. Again, let me go back and remind people of the quote that Mr. McFadden stated. Again, Mr. McFadden was a congressman, chairman of the House Committee on Banking and Currency. He said the Depression was not accidental. It was a carefully contrived occurrence. The international Jewish bankers sought to bring about a condition of despair so that they might emerge as the rulers of us all. So we have to remember that this was carefully orchestrated so that when these things took place, they could step in and cause all these problems and take over for these, again, the borrower servant to the lender. When they caused this financial crash and that affected most of the American nation, didn't affect these rich Jewish bankers who caused it, but it affected the people and the workers here. They were able to come in and bail out these bankrupting colleges and businesses and take them over. So these Christian colleges began to change, and systematically a lot of what they required certain teachings to change. They required, again, subtly over time, these things happen. They're very patient. They're just like their father, the devil. As I said earlier, they don't do things so quickly that we get offended and get angry as we should. They do it so subtly that many times people wake up. It's a lot like, you know, I've got four children, and a lot of times it's like every few months or so, or maybe, you know, every year, you look at your children because you're around them all the time. You look at them and you wake up and you're like, man, boy, has my children grown? Because you've been around them so much and the growth has been so gradual. It's like you just suddenly realize, hey, this is not the same boy he was, you know, 5 or 6 months ago, or the same little girl. So, and that's sort of the way the communists, the Jews work it, is it's such a subtle process that it's years sometimes before we realize just how systematically, evilly, you know, if that's a word, things have been changed, how they've worked to change things in such a subtle way. And how did they do this? Well, if you go back into the, and we'll document this with Jewish sources, what are some of the things they did? Well, I'll quote from the American Jewish Yearbook. This was copyrighted in 1952. Arrangements have been, completed with the National Council of Churches, whereby the American Jewish Congress and the Anti-Defamation League will jointly aid in the preparation of lesson materials, listen carefully, folks, study guides, and visual aids for the Protestant organizations. And remember, the Jews deny the fact that Christ Emmanuel was Yahweh, the Word become flesh. And they went through the World Council of Churches, and American Jewish Congress was instrumental in that, and the Anti-Defamation League, jointly preparing lesson materials, study guides, and visual aids, along with the communist parties, were doing these things. And you won't find a religion out there today that's not associated with this World Council of Churches. And again, back to Babylon, this world system.
Yeah, Paul Harvey, shortly before his death, told about how the Jews were buying up all the Christian publishing firms. So obviously they were publishing material that was favorable to their viewpoint.
And, yes, sir. And they always
I'd like to point out that 100 years ago, all churches taught certain doctrines that are no longer taught, like they taught against interracial marriage, they taught against homosexuality, and all that has changed. And a lot of Jews have infiltrated the church as though they were Christians. They get the Christian label, but John 8:44 tells us that ye are of your father and the lusts or the desires of your father ye will do. But if you look up in John 8:31, it says they were believing Jews. You don't change fathers because of belief. And you get a lot of these Joel Osteen types and other Jews that have infiltrated the churches, and they're carrying out their Jewish plan in the name of Christianity.
Absolutely 100% correct. And you and I, the things that you and I teach, just like you mentioned, the stance that we have against homosexuality, transsexuality, miscongeniation, etc., would be far more accepted in one of the houses of prayer in this nation in the early 1900s than these people who are part of their denomination today. It's changed so much in the 100 years that it's not even recognizable anymore. So now, what were some of the things? I just read from the American Jewish Yearbook where it said they were putting in lesson material, study guides, and visual aids. Now, let me explain a little bit more about the communist plan that Lenin had put together for this. They even members of the Communist Party, USA, and the communist parties in Russia were writing Sunday school literature, discipleship training literature, whatever you want to call it. They changed the term sometimes, and sermons for the teachers in the assemblies, these religions that are now calling themselves Judeo, to teach in their classes and worship services. The communist now sought to change the church's doctrines. And again, I use the term church loosely. We're speaking of these religions because we know Yahweh's church is his people. We know Yahweh's church is not made of wood, stone, or clay. That his church is his people, Israel, and that's who he meets with and dwells in. Our bodies are his temple. But I'm speaking of what were once the white Western European assemblies, the Christian assemblies, as they truly should have been, that have been systematically changed. And so don't misunderstand me calling them churches there, but they changed the belief system in such, as I said before, in such small amounts that at first, you know, it was just so gradual that people didn't really even see it coming, you know. And then gradually they changed them more and more as time went on, accepting more and more, tolerating more and more, compromising more and more, just as they had done with in school, public schools, and other areas. Just about all the school children went to educate themselves in the local house of prayer. Well, when they first pulled them out of the local houses of prayer and put these county schools or city schools together, government schools, they promised them that there would still be Bible reading and prayer and all these, nothing would change. But within just a short time, everything had changed and all of that stuff was taken away. So, you know, and was gone. Now, much of the changes that these communists were driving for would slant white Christians toward a complete acceptance of the Jewish race that founded the communist doctrine, that Yahweh himself drove out of his temple, called the house of prayer, called them the money changers, like I said, and then and they turned his house into a den of thieves. But the communist goals included teaching all of the white Western European peoples that the Jews are the chosen race of Yahweh. Regardless of what they do, which is reject Yahweh, come in the flesh, or regardless of what they say. And they said, you know, let his blood be on us and our children. You know, that was, what is it, Matthew 27, that says, I think it's 27:25 that says that. But here on earth. So the communists would push, and you listen carefully to this, and I know most of our people understand that, but they need to share this with other people a lot because the communists began to push for new versions of the Bible to be written, which would which they would sell to unsuspecting white Western Europeans and Americans, you know, primarily with the argument that they're more modern, easier to read, easier to teach from. But yet in reality, the new versions would soften again the message of the virgin birth, the message of Christ's death, sacrifice for our, you know, our kinsman redeemer, the resurrection, the fact that Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Eventually they would leave out entire verses out of new translations. I think the NIV leaves out 64 verses. You know, we're commanded in Deuteronomy and Revelation not to add to Yahweh's word, not to take from. But the verses they choose to alter or exclude would pertain primarily to things like idol worship, witchcraft, homosexuality, race mixing, and many other perverted sins. And so that's the so-called Bible that people have, today. And that many of them are using. And now I'm going to quote another one. This is according to the book Rockefeller, Giant, Dwarf, and Symbol. And it was written by William H. Allen. It was copyrighted in 1930. The editors, here we go, it says, and he quoted, Charles Schofield was paid by John D. Rockefeller to put pro-Zionist study helps within the Schofield Bible. The Schofield Bible, the so-called study Bible, has been pretty much the primary Bible of all that all study Bibles have been based on today. And this Jew, John D. Rockefeller, paid Schofield to put the pro-Zionist study helps within the Schofield study Bible. The editors of the Schofield translation, I bought one to look at the different things in it and have it on my shelf as an example. To share with people, the editors of the Schofield translation included many Jews, you know, Erdman, Gabelein, Feinberg. You know, the Schofield Bible is still printed by Oxford Press, which is a Jewish publishing company. One of the publishing companies that they bought up, just like you were referring to earlier. That they also bought up these, you know, publishing companies and things so that they could twist and change things to suit themselves. The communists wanted, now this is back to Lenin's plan, and I'm just showing you how they made it come about. But the communists wanted to unite leaders from different religious groups to join them in translating these newer versions of the Bible. The NIV was translated, in the 70s in New York City, the largest Jewish population in the world. You know, especially here in America, outside of Israel, but especially here in America, the largest Jewish, you know, population that we have, and that's where this was translated. And the goal was to translate these new translations of the Bible into something that every religion could accept and could be unoffended by reading. And the communists also wanted to play. See, this is what a lot of people don't understand. In the communist nations, there was never a hatred. This is what people were sold on in the 50s and 60s, that there was a hatred for religion within the communist nations of Russia and other places. That's not true. There was a religion has thrived under communism. There is a hatred for white Christianity, white Christian values. There is a hatred among the communists for our Father Yahweh. There is a hatred among the communists for a belief that Yahweh came in the flesh body. If you look in our government schools today, which are nothing but communist indoctrination centers, the only religions that are taught are foreign religions. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism. All of these different religions are spoken of and talked about in our schools. But our faith, the white Western Europeans' faith, the book that was written to, for, and about the white Western Europeans from Genesis all the way to Revelation, is not there. We're not allowed to pray. We're not allowed to read that book in those government schools anymore, because that's what the communists hate. They love religion, and they're a part of bringing those religions together because they're international, and that's what they want. They want to destroy the white Western European nations, and they do it politically through the doctrines of communism, and they do it, you know, religiously through turning our once, you know, the faith that was delivered unto the saints, as we were told in the book of Jude, into turning doctrines into dogmas. And that's exactly what they've done. They've taken what was once sound doctrine and they've replaced it with dogma. It's a vacuum effect. And the communists wanted to place their propagandists in Christian colleges, and they did. The goals were laid out there. That would include teaching unsuspecting pastors and evangelists to doubt the word as the Bible as true, to doubt that Christ was virgin born, to accept that there is no absolute sin, that the law's trashed, and you know there's not really any punishment for transgressing Yahweh's law, and just all these vile things. But the communist infiltrators would soon teach church leaders to preach the aforementioned peace and love and forgiveness without any regard to repentance whatsoever, without any regard to Yahweh's laws and commandments, as I said, which is the definition of sin, according to 1 John 3, verse 4. But they also wanted to convince church leaders that you have to be a member of certain denominations, that you have to follow certain man-made rituals, religious teachings, predominantly apart from Yahweh and the law, in order to go to heaven, so to speak. And they worked in universalism and all kinds of things that our people just did not accept before these things took place. The communists wanted to form youth programs that would separate them from all of the adult studies, which, again, allowed them to indoctrinate the youth more away from the adult, away from their parents, so they didn't know what they were being taught. Drain the denomination of all, you know, large amounts of its budget trying to entertain these youth. And they would have never encouraged them to actually follow Yahweh's law again or have a personal relationship with Yahweh. And through all of these efforts, the communists believed that, they would eventually destroy our race and all of our faith, and that people would no longer have faith, at all in the Bible, which was given to us. And they've been 100% correct. Because, I mean, as you see, our people have turned, not that these religions are the true faith, you know, anymore, but they've turned away because they've been perverted to the point that, you know, no real man wants to go to a Judeo-religion, assembly because it's too weak. It's weak, Brother Mike. They don't stand for anything. They don't fight, you know, and stand and contend for the faith that was delivered unto the saints. And that saints, of course, being us. They don't contend and stand for what, we're taught is right, you know. And if you look at what they've done, if you want to look at the completion of what they have accomplished, I mean, it's never ending. I'll give you a couple more quotes real quick. According to the book, The Jews in America, this was written by a Jew, Irving J. Sloan, copyright 1978, page 2, money for building the first Lutheran church in New York City was made available through a loan from Asser Levy, who was a Jewish banker. All right, and then
you can be sure they don't teach what Martin Luther taught.
No, absolutely. No, absolutely.
We have a caller. We have a caller from Ord, Nebraska. You're on the air.
Good evening. I missed your name. Would you tell us your name? And also, before the program ends, would you tell us a little bit about what's going to happen in the future? Thank you.
Well, my name's Dr. Weed, J. Edward Weed. What we're looking at as far as the future is concerned is more of the same. You know, Yahweh said nothing new is under the sun. Unless our people awaken, unless they understand what's been happening to them, unless they can take the blinders off and see this, you know, the way to get out from under this is to first recognize the problem. If we can't recognize the problem, then, we can't fix the problem. And, it's easy to see that what they've done has come to pass. You know, the man known as the father of 20th century education was John Dewey. And Dewey was a self-proclaimed atheist and communist. And today, in every public school system in American evolution's taught, Buddhism, like I said, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, voodoo, and even witchcraft, you know, Wicca, and all these other things are taught. And they're being studied by our American youth, by our white Western European children. Evidence that Jewish communism, you know, again, they from the very beginning targeted our people. And the only religion or book that is excluded from these schools now is our faith. So it's going to continue, and it's going to continue to wax worse and worse until our people arise and awaken. And I believe there is an awakening coming. I believe if you go back and look, I'll put it like this. What was it? A few years ago in there was 42 Jews in Congress. Then there was 49 Jews in Congress. I'm pleased to report that as of, I think that was 2011, as of 2015, and in the most recent Congress, there's now, there was 30 some odd Jews in Congress. So there is a decline of the amount of Jews in the United States Congress, which is a good thing. Now, I'm not telling you to trust in the two-party system, but I'm saying I think people are waking up and beginning to realize what a threat the Jews are to America's society. We need a different party to represent
us. The congressmen are under their control.
Of course. Of course, what I'm saying, we can't trust the two-party system, but at least some of the people have been awakened to the point that they're trying to at least reject those who are the Jews by race. That's not going to completely fix the problem, but the only thing that's going to fix the problem is obedience to Yahweh's law. When we understand who we are and understand who the Jews are, we've got a chance to fix the problem. You know, many years ago, Sir William Wallace of Scotland said, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And it's easy to see that his statement was correct. You know, it's the we've had a total brainwashing of our society, where our women have been told by religion and by public schools and other things, and I'm not just attacking public schools, I'm just saying they've become indoctrination centers. The religious whorehouses out here, and I don't say that just to be insulting. I say it because anything you find in a whorehouse, adulterers, you know, sluts, homosexuals, others, whatever you find in a whorehouse, you find in these so-called assemblies that are supposedly worshiping Yahweh, and that's why I call them whorehouses. They are rocking the cradles of our children. They're raising our children up against us to teach them things that are completely contrary to everything we stand for. And they're praising the ideas and telling you that Karl Marx and Charles Darwin and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all these guys and Barack Obama, all these guys, they're heroes. You know, they're heroes that you should respect and revere and, you know, and Nelson Mandela and all these people. And it's not true. None of our people are praised anymore. All of our founding fathers are declared to be racist and slaveholders and wicked evil men that are not of Yahweh. And it's just a direct effort to undermine and destroy our society.
They go under various names, you know, liberalism and progressivism, and
sure,
communism is not used too much anymore. But
no,
still, it's all Judaism. It all comes from the Jewish way of looking at things.
Absolutely. And if you look at it, you call it whatever you want. But the communist plan for takeover, let me put it to you like this. You do a little research, you'll find that Lyndon Johnson, you'll find that John Kerry, that Barack Obama, that Hillary Clinton, you will find that all of those candidates for the Democratic Party were endorsed by the Communist Party USA for President of the United States. They say, we have no reason to run a president on our party platform because we, and so is Bernie Sanders, we can run our candidates through the Democratic Party of the United States. And I'm not endorsing the Republicans either. Again, there's not a dime's worth of difference in those two parties. They both refuse to protect our borders. They both refused to address the Jewish problem. You know, there was a gentleman here recently in California that stood on a Jewish flag in opposition to them that was running for the Senate, and the Republican Party banned him because, like, he stood on the American flag. I wonder what they would have done if he stood on the American flag, because they acted like he stood on our flag when he stood on the Jewish flag and said he wasn't going to support them. So if you don't think they control things in this country, exactly. If you don't think they control things in this country, look around, because they do.
We have another caller from Nunda, New York. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to call in and tell you that approximately 17 minutes into your broadcast, which was coming in crystal clear, there was so much interference that it was incomprehensible and remained that way for the rest of the broadcast. I just wanted to call in and let you know what I experienced out here. And thank you. You must be saying something that is very important.
Well, sir, everything we say
is... I appreciate you letting us know that.
Thank you very much. Everything that we say is the truth, and the Jews can't, you know, I'll put it like this. The only people who have to fear what we're saying here tonight are people who are corrupt. Okay? That's who has to fear what we're saying here tonight, are the people who are corrupt. And if you want to, you know, that's the problem. The Jews know we're speaking the truth, and every time we speak the truth, they try their best to discredit us, dismiss us, and remove us so that people can't hear what we have to say. They do everything they can to interfere with our message, whether it be through social media or anything else. They're going to try to censor what we have to say because what we have to say is right, and it scares them. It scares them to death.
And they sit out and they monitor our programs, and they've gone behind us to the stations and tried to get us kicked off and publications and various other things. But our mailing address will be given at the end of the broadcast. We still have a lot of literature that is informative, including Dr. Weed's book, The Origins of Communism. We carry that. And let me give you an opportunity, if I believe you have other publications that if people would like to write you directly.
I do. I've got one that I do recommend called Inconvenient Truths, and it has some of the quotes that I've used tonight that I've researched through to document some of the things that we've talked about. You know, your enemy doesn't want you to know who's holding the stick. But I'm asking our people, how long do you have to be hit on the head before you realize who's holding the stick that's beating your brains out? That's why they're trying to censor us. But this book, Inconvenient Truths, gives good documentation. It might be informative to somebody who has been in the movement for a long time and give them information they probably weren't aware of. It's certainly going to be informative to people. And it's designed as nothing but a series of quotes primarily from Jewish authors and Jewish publications because, you know, we don't have to go any farther than that to prove what I'm saying is true. You don't have to take my word for it. I can document for you, time and time again, the things that are being said, from Jewish publications themselves. The Episcopal, religion was financed by them and taken over the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Church of Christ, the Catholics, all of these denominations, and my book, Inconvenient Truths, documents this, was under the control of the Jewish financiers and bankers. And again, I'll say this. I mean, I hope that they, you know, I appreciate Jewish censorship. Jewish censorship helps me to become more popular everywhere I go. So I hope they keep censoring us because only the corrupt fear what I'm saying and the honest support what I'm saying and the heroic will go out and follow and live by what I'm saying because it is the absolute truth. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that Brother Mike has given me to share these truths with you tonight. And I'm thankful for the people who are out there listening and calling in. It's very, humbling, and I appreciate this, and I praise Yahweh for the opportunity to come to you. And again, I thank them for their censorship because everywhere they go, they just make us a little more popular. So.
Did you want to give your address for anybody who wants the book, The Inconvenient Truth?
Anybody can write me at 2177 Bishop Ridge, West Blockton, Alabama, 35184, and I will be happy to send them a copy of the book if they'd like to buy a copy of it. Inconvenient Truths or The Origins of Communism. And I'd appreciate that. And I'll be happy to send out as many as you need.
Okay, and like I said, we carry The Origins of Communism. We also carry the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, and a lot of other literature that pertains to our heritage. We still have a little bit of time left if anybody else would like to call. The number, toll-free, is 877-924-7722, 877-YAHS-RACE. Go ahead, Dr. Weed.
Brother Mike, I just want to thank you again for having me on the show. It's been an honor to be here again, as I said, and to share these truths with people. I hope that people will listen and understand, like I said, what the Jews did to gain power here. I hope that people, I guess I'll close with this. I hope people understand again that I was one of these who was raised in a Judeo religion. I was a Judeo pastor. And making very good money in that realm. And, have not been welcomed inside one of their assemblies in over 10 years because of the things that I teach and speak. But I've lost relationships, jobs, and other things because of the stance against them. But I know what I'm speaking is right. I'm not saying that to have a merit badge pinned on me here tonight. I'm saying that because I know what I'm saying is the truth. And once you get a taste of the truth, everything else is just cheap whiskey. And so I love the truth. The truth's what sets us free. I've got to speak the truth wherever I go and whatever I do because it is what sets us free. We've got to speak and teach the things that is going to make a difference. Calling these people the Illuminati, calling them Democrats, calling them communists, calling them Zionist, that's not good enough. Because the only thing that these people fear is me or Brother Mike or anybody else calling them out and calling them the Jews that they are, the international bankers. None of these titles are good enough. We have to identify who they are and the controls that they have had over Europe and America in some form or another since the 1600s, over our religions, over our political systems, over our economic systems. And they continue to gain more and more power as time has moved on. And until we identify them, you know, until we identify the snake in our midst, we're not going to change the things. And that's why they're scared. That's why they're censoring us. That's why they're scrambling our radio frequencies tonight, because they don't want people to have them identified. They don't want people to understand who's holding the stick that's beating their brains out. And that's the truth.
And they are of their father, the devil. They are the literal children of Satan. That sounds maybe a little shocking to people who are not familiar with that, but we do carry a lot of literature proving that point. Well, we're at the end of the broadcast, and I would like to thank you for being our guest tonight. Like you said, it was an informative broadcast, and thank you once again.
Thank you for having me, Brother Mike. I just pray y'all will give people the eyes to see and ears to hear. And thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.